Off the Ball Breakfast, Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Mbappe, and look, I've been a long skeptic of Mbappe. I thought, you know, because he had it too easy.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Well, Stephen, huge game tomorrow night. First win you're waiting for still. How do you assess the first few weeks of the season?
Some of it's been really good. Large aspects of what we've been doing is really good. We just need to tidy up on the small bits, which is obviously what cost us on Monday night. But yeah, I like large aspects of what we're doing.
Any of those small things, are they a factor of not having a regular pre-season?
No, not at all. I think that's an excuse. I think the goals on Monday night are basics. We all know Sligo are strong in set plays. They're a big team. You know exactly what they're going to try and look for and set on that free kick, and we don't deal with it, and it's cost us. So. No, that's not to do with pre-season.
You've had slow starts before, and last season couldn't quite get it back. The season before you did, and you went on to be champions. So you know how to deal with this sort of scenario. Do you have to talk to the players to remind them that they know how to deal with this scenario?
Not so much the players that have been here. It's more the younger players that come up from the academy, and then the young players that we brought in from outside that haven't been around it the last few years. So you've got to make them understand that. Trust what we do, trust the process. What we're doing is good. We need to keep improving, and we will. But it's about being nice and calm and believing in what we do.
I was asking after the Shells game about the striker situation, and you were saying, you know, generally you've always got goals from everyone. Looking back, I think it was 2022, Graham Burke was your top scorer in the league with 11. Is that something that you're focusing on with the midfielders and the more creative players, that actually you're going to need quite a bit from them in terms of goal return this year?
No, I think, like I said, you look back at the stats, this isn't an opinion. We've always shared the goals around the team. Last year, we got spoiled with Johnny. We haven't had that since Gary Twigg at this club. And we've always based our game around the goals being shared throughout the team, whether that's centre-backs and set players, wing-backs getting in, tens, midfielders, obviously centre-forward. But there's so much more to us than relying on a centre-forward. We've never been that team, and we never will be that team.
Yeah. Tomorrow night we're going to see Michael Noonan, Mason Melia, two of the hottest, most exciting young players to come out of the league. When you look at those two guys, and maybe even the likes of Corey O'Sullivan and Victor as well, are they freaks who've managed to make it through this system, or are they a result of the improvements that are happening at academy level?
I think it's a bit of both. It's a bit of everything. You can't get too carried away and think we're doing everything brilliantly, but you also have to understand we are doing some things really well. But sometimes you get players that of a young age that are just ready mentally, physically, tactically, and sometimes they're just ready at a young age, and when they're ready, you got to give them the chance. We had it before with Gavin, a really young age. We had John James Forlong. I know we didn't have him for long, but played him, he goes. Aaron Bulger played young, so we had that all the time here. Right now it's just really out there, because obviously you have Michael and Mason, who are two really good centre forwards, but it's a mixture of everything.
Yeah. What is the thing you're looking at in a 16-year-old, because you remember yourself when you were that age, the talent that you had. What is the thing when you look at 15, 16-year-olds that's away from the talent that gets them into the first team picture?
That's that mentality. It's the elite mentality to be a footballer. Talent only gets you to the door. Everything else gets you inside the door, and it keeps you in there. We've had really talented players here that have been knocking on the door, and once they get there, they think the job is done and right. They switch off. And talent gets you to the door. It's what gets you inside and what keeps you in that room that's really important. And I can speak for Michael, obviously, from working really close, has elite mentality. He's got mentality to want to be a footballer. At what level, that remains to be seen. But he's got an elite mentality, and when you combine that with ability, you've got half a chance.
And you can point to Michael and to Mason and to Corey O'Sullivan and say, here's what we can do with limited resources at academy level. Imagine what we can do with the proper resources. And then the word last week from the minister that funding for academy football that we were told was a done deal, despite the change in government, that it's no longer imminent. What's your reaction to that?
That's really disappointing. Because we can't afford to wait a year or 2 years down the line. We need it now. The league is in a good place. It's grown. It's getting bigger in every aspect. We need to keep that momentum going. We can't think we'd be okay. And funding like that is so, so important for each and every club throughout the country, for the development of our young players. Brexit has given us an opportunity to have most of our young players stay here till 18 at least. We've got to take ownership of that and responsibility for that now, and pour everything in place to try and develop them. And that funding is vital for us being able to do that.
Do you still worry that that opportunity to break that has presented itself, that we're not in a position to take advantage, and it feels like we've come from a sort of a lost generation, that there might be another lost generation in this limbo at the moment who don't get the opportunity yet an English academy and all of its resources are here at a very under-resourced system, and suddenly we're going to have 4 or 5 years of guys not having enough game time?
Yeah, well, that is a worry. It's definitely a worry. Like I said, we have to take responsibility for developing our own players, which I think is what we've always cried out for and what we want. But you need funding to do that. You need facilities, you need everything to go along. There's so much that goes in the mix. You obviously need full-time coaches right down the ages. There's so much that goes into that. And before you know it, you can create a real industry here for the academies, yeah, and football in general. But we need that investment. It's so important from the government. Because let's be honest, the majority of our national team players and now and in the future are going to come from this league. So we need to make sure that the academies are resourced properly.
When you're having a conversation with a parent of a 16-year-old who may look at the continent, and some players have gone to Italy and there's other options in Germany and Spain, can you sit with them and say we can offer them what they can offer them, or are you having to give them a different proposal for staying here in Ireland?
No, I think if you look at Victor, for example, you look at young Corey, you look at Michael, you present what we can offer them,
yeah,
what our strengths are.
And what is that?
Well, I think we've got them in an elite environment, trying with the best team in the country, exposing them to real football very early in their career. I think they're working with some of the best coaches in the country. So we offer them a really good package. We give them an incredible platform to go and play really high level football for a really big club. And that's so important for young players to get that. But there is the other side of that. Players will want to go to France or Portugal or Spain or wherever that may be. And that's okay. People are allowed to make decisions and what they feel is best for them. That's okay. You're not trying to stop that. But you're trying to enhance what we can offer them here. And more funding within the academy system can only help what we can offer them young players to stay. I fully believe, from being one of them young players that went away, that the route should be here, stay here, play football, senior football, high level football. You see what teams are doing in Europe, you see what we did last year, and hopefully more teams do it. You see the platform we can give players. And like I said, if we get that funding from the government, it only enhances what we can offer them kids and them parents to stay here.
Then the stats say otherwise, though, that actually the number of minutes for young players in the Premier Division has been reduced, because while we're here talking about underage football, your job is to get results ultimately at the end of the day, and you have to pick your best team. You can't be going, well, actually, good thing for Irish football is to give a 17-year-old a chance. So yeah. How do you get that balance?
No, it's about getting the balance. That's down to each individual club and each individual manager. You're not saying because you invest in academies, you must have 10 players every year from academies. That's silly. That doesn't work. That's never worked in any country, and it's not going to work in this country. But your elite players, you can give them a proposition to stay here and develop, a real proposition. And like I said, the more funding you get into your academies can only enhance what you can offer.
I'm sure we'll hear more from the minister, but it did feel like a very deflating moment after a 12 months where it felt like there was more progress maybe than made in the previous decade in terms of that message that Will Clark would have had around the academy system really getting through to government. Did you feel that deflating sense when you saw those quotes?
That's definitely not ideal, because like I said, we're all working extremely hard. I think, but it's really important we keep having dialogue with ministers, with people in government, the decision makers, and keep showing them the reasons why this investment is so important for us. And like I said, the future of our senior national team is in this country. It's in this league. It's in these academy systems. The days of, like I said, being gone to England at 15 and us relying on England to develop our players, them days are gone. So we need to take responsibility for that, and we need funding. So yes, it was disappointing, but I do feel we need to keep banging that drum. We need to keep talking to them. We need to keep showing them the reasons why we need it, and try and make them understand why we need it and why we need it very quickly.
Is there still that part that maybe it's just still too easy to say no to Irish football?
I don't know. I can't speak for the reasons why the minister has said what he said. I don't know the ins and outs of what's going on in the background. But like I said, I can speak on behalf of this club and what we're trying to do, and I'm sure many clubs around the country. And that investment is so, so important for the future of Irish football.
The comments you made about the FAI before at the Molde game and their lack of understanding of Irish football, did you get any reaction from the FAI to that?
No.
Maybe it is a I'm not sure if it's a healthy thing or an unhealthy thing that the most senior managers in the country seem to have no relationship with the senior football people in the league. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I've been here managing this club for quite some time. I would imagine this club is very approachable. I think I'm very approachable. I know Damien, I'm pretty sure he's the same. I'm there for people to approach and speak to regarding every aspect of football in this country and how we can try and improve it.
Have you sat with Mark Hannam at any stage?
No.
That seems unusual again. And I know maybe referring to England, it wouldn't be unusual for the head of the FA, or maybe it would be, to meet with a Premier League manager. But in this country, everything is so much more aligned that the person who's the most important one in football in the country doesn't have that relationship with the managers.
Well, I can't answer that. It's nothing good to do with me.
Yeah. Would you like the opportunity to sit with him?
I'm not looking for a sit down and conversations with anybody.
Yeah.
My focus is Shamrock Rovers, how we improve, how we get better, how the staff get better, how I get better. I don't know if you obviously don't know me too well. I don't go chasing people for conversations. People want to be in their company and want to talk. It's very, very easy to set up conversations.
Yeah. Just then on tomorrow night, a massive crowd. Pats have got a couple of back-to-back wins. It does feel maybe quite similar to last season. We spoke about points totals and quality and all that. It does feel like it's going to be a very tight league where there's not much separating a lot of the teams. Is that your sense from the first few weeks?
I don't know. We'll see come the end of the season. Again, I've been doing this a long time. The start of the season in this league is always like this. Very hard to predict results, performances for a lot of different reasons. And this season is no different to start with. So let's
pitch is a big factor.
Sorry?
Pitches.
Of course, but there's nothing anybody can do about that. The weather is the weather. It's difficult for groundsmen. But the pitches are obviously not great. But that's the way it goes. You can't control the weather.